The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show. We are ready to do it. A brand new week here on the Buckmaster Show. It's April the 9th, 2018. Hope you had a great weekend. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The live line number is 790-2040. If you'd like to join in, and Monday, of course, we get things rolling with our Monday political face-off. So if something that you hear during the face-off and like to comment, we'll put you on the air. Every Monday, we do kick off the week with the face-off. This week, we have Dr. Don Jorgensen seated to my left. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jim Kelly is here, longtime conservative and Republican activist. Jim, how are you?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. Don, always a pleasure.
Thank you. Good to be here.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That means Moe will make a house call, easily hang whatever you've got, and make sure it is in the proper position. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Lots to talk about, Syria, China, but let's begin, Don and Jim, with the border. I think the governor said today about nearly 300 troops are headed to the border. The Arizona Daily Star yesterday, editorial, White House case on the border or for the guard on the border is unconvincing. Would you agree with that, Don Jorgensen?
Oh, it's not just unconvincing. It's political theater and not much more than that. And it ties back once again to President Trump wanting to do anything he can to keep focus on his wall. In fact, he made a statement that we'll probably keep the National Guard there until the wall is built. That tells you where his mindset is. It's again, just another ploy to demonize immigrants for partisan gain, using the troops as political props is just unconscionable in this case, too, because the rationale isn't there. There's no crisis on the southwest border, and I'll give you just two reasons for that real quick. Number one, we know that the illegal crossing or illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. is at its lowest level in 40 years, down to about 300,000. Now, that's 300,000 sounds like a lot, and it is, but it's still way down. We've had an increase in Border Patrol in enforcement there, and so it's been increasing. There was a blip, but that happens when you're at the lowest. And what we have been doing for the past year or two or three, since Obama increased those numbers, has been working. Second, the issue about drugs coming over the border. Well, they don't come over the undefended parts of the border that way. Most of them come through customs and ports of entry, and that's the customs official work. And so if the president wanted to put more money there, that would make sense. But sending down National Guard to militarize the border makes no sense at all. And it just inflames the same kind of anti-immigrant passions that he's kind of poked his stick at for 2 years.
Does it make sense to you, Jim Kelly?
It absolutely makes sense to me for a number of reasons. Number one, this is an issue that has been kicked around for since Eisenhower. The reality of it is this, is that Donald Trump got elected president of the United States on as this is one of the foundation issues of stopping illegal immigration in the United States. And he's fulfilling that promise. Political theater or not, those National Guard troops have a mission. They have tasks. And upgrading the database and information of bad actors, bad players through biometric recordings are all things that the National Guard can be doing. Now, some people may think, oh, we're going to militarize it with, you know, laws, rockets, and RPGs, and all
tanks.
Of this, tanks, and all this. That's really not what's happening. What we're talking about is boots on the ground that are going to be doing a lot of work that the Border Patrol either legally cannot do.
With electronic surveillance? And
or are already, they're thinly staffed along those undefended portions of the border, because they have been putting more people at the checkpoints. They have been increasing ICE presence so that commercial trade can continue across the border. So all of these things are good. And like I said, anything that upgrades the database and the intelligence that we have on the bad actors, whether they be international narco terrorists or traffickers, or if the political theater gets south far enough south so that people are actually seeing it on a regular basis, saying, you know what, I'm not going to pay that coyote thousands of dollars to try to get to a border that I'm not going to be able to cross.
So you see,
so that's
this
a good
as
idea.
Enhancements. Then.
Sure, of course it is.
Don?
Well, again, the facts don't support that. More undocumented immigrants are leaving the U.S. than coming over illegally. If you want to address these issues, continue to put that money into the Border Patrol, hire more Border Patrol agents that are trained to do the jobs that are needed that Jim just described. You don't take a militarized organization like the National Guard and put them there and say, well, don't do that. Number two.
But DOJ is not a military organization, okay? That's the issue here. There are some things at the border that need to be done by the military, and there are other things that need to be done by DOJ. DOJ needs to be involved with, of course, you know, documentation of immigration and through the commerce and getting all that stuff. That's where DOJ comes into play. But when it comes to protecting the national boundaries, that is a military job, and I don't see any problem with using the National Guard to do so.
So you're okay with militarizing the border?
All kinds of things get militarized.
Well, as you know, they, by law, are not allowed to act and as law enforcement
correct.
Personnel
what is
on
that
the border. It's a very
that,
different process. And here's the other thing. I want to correct.
Militarize. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
You know, you said that their mission is to do such and such. Mm-hmm. Trump didn't send them down there with a mission. Trump sent them down there saying, we need to militarize the borders, and we'll figure that out later. And now the scrambling has happened just over the weekend in trying to figure out what the mission is. And that's still not clear. So it's not accurate to say it is clear that they have a mission. We don't know what the mission is. We don't know what the cost will be. We don't even know how long they'll be there. And that's the problem.
There is a law that will not – it's – what am I looking for? There's a word that says that the military can
right.
All, yeah.
Right. There's a certain amount of separation of powers and separation of what, you know, the military cannot be used for law enforcement purposes except in times of, you know, crisis and things like that. But this is not a legal DOJ job that the National Guard is going to do.
There
Posse Comitatus. There you go.
Oh, good. We have such smart listeners.
Yeah. We do.
And that was passed in the 1800s.
Correct.
Thank you very much. I think Matthew called in with that because I was really struggling.
So make sure, please understand.
Yes.
The National Guard is not going to be doing a DOJ mission. The National Guard is going to be doing a military mission. And that's just the way it is because of things like Posse Comitatus, the fact that you do have congressional oversight, and the president, like I said, all of this so-called political theater is one of the reasons why so many illegals are self-deporting now. Is that not the whole point?
But should we have military? Will this lead to just military on the border all the time?
Well, you can't predict what Trump is or isn't going to do, and you certainly can't predict it based on what he says. The problem is it continues to demonize legal immigrants as well, and that's the problem. The folks coming up, and this is again, what President Trump was pointing to are these folks coming up from Central America, from El Salvador, Honduras, from Guatemala, who are fleeing from persecution, from really dangerous situations. And they're seeking to come here legally. Mm-hmm. They've been upfront about
legal
that.
Legal immigrants don't pay coyotes and swim the Rio Grande. Legal immigrants come through the turnstile.
Yes, we
documented.
Agree. Documented. Why then is Trump demonizing those folks and
They're
using
not.
Them as his excuse to bring the National Guard to the
They're
border?
They're not demonizing
That is exactly what he said, Jim.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check it out. Moe does such a great job with all your framing needs. It's lunchtime if you're out and about. Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Don't most people love bakery goods?
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
I mean, I have yet to find many people who do not like them, and I love them. And Steve and Sherry with their beautiful European baked goods. Why not a sandwich now at Mona's Danish Bakery? Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday during the noon hour, Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan will have some great summer travel ideas. Plus, Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Tucson Weekly Arts writer Margaret Regan, Buckmaster. Noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com. Of course, they're on Facebook. Dr. Don Jorgensen is here, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party and longtime Republican activist Jim Kelly, who's been also a longtime friend of our program with us. And Greg has called at 790-2040. Greg would like to bring up Israel and security. Go ahead, Greg.
I think we have a lot to learn from what Israel does. And also I mentioned to Ray that Germany, now my brother lives in Spain. He travels throughout Europe. And he was visiting a Jewish friend of his in France. I forget the city. That's not important. But as he approached the door of this Jewish fellow, two gentlemen in law enforcement approached my brother, asked him what he was up to, what's going on, checked his ID, and then allowed him, to go in the house. And in Israel, I mean, I think we all know that you have armed police everywhere because of the threat from Hamas and the Palestinians. And we have so much freedom here, but maybe we need to start not worrying about profiling. And if somebody is from an Arab country, I mean, God bless them. There's a lot of great Muslims, but there's a few that would like to kill us. So we can learn from these other countries. What do you guys think of that?
Okay. We'll let our face-off participants weigh in on that, Greg. Jim, do you want to begin?
Sure. First off, we've got a pretty good idea who the bad players are in the Middle East. And as much as people may not like this, we learned a lot from our mistakes in Afghanistan and Pakistan. We actually did learn from tragedies throughout the Middle East and Southeast and Southwest Africa in dealing with the threat of Islamic fascism and Islamic extremism. In terms of our own security, we're getting better, and we're getting better because of tragedy. We're getting better because of our mistakes, and we do have very good people, both in the military, the intelligence communities, State Department, that are understanding the baseline of what we need to be looking for and not be so emotionally wrapped up into wearing a turban or he's or she's in a bedia or, that kind of nonsense. We've got people that are being a lot smarter about. And then we've learned that from Israel, by the way, of not profiling, but specificity of behavior. Mm-hmm. And that is what we're learning from. Does that make sense, what I just said, Greg?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And Don, what do you think about that? And I was just thinking before you respond about the Israeli airline and the way they do their security at El Al. They have their own system, as you're very well aware, Jim, and it isn't kind of what you would think of as traditional profiling by any means.
No.
Don?
Yeah, Jim may be surprised to hear me say I agree completely with him.
Oh, let's ring a bell.
It is. The intelligence communities in the U.S., along with the military, have spent a lot of time and focus on this. They have learned from Israel. They have learned from other security agencies. And what you've described is exactly right. Behavioral profiling makes sense. Religious profiling does not. Discrimination does not. That's not how this country was built. That's not what makes this country great. But common sense focused on behavior, using the information we've gained from all the disasters and attacks of the past, is what makes sense. And I've read quite a bit about this, and seeing that those changes being deployed at airports, at any area in cities from day to day, where there are threats. Threats are real, and fortunately we have intelligence communities and law enforcement communities that understand this.
Greg brings up the Middle East, and of course this government, the Trump administration, has a decision about what to do about Syria, which really is a mess, Don and Jim. Which way we go, who knows?
Well, in the 20th century, Lebanon was used by world powers to play world power games. And a lot of tragedy came about. There are three different civil wars from 1953 to 1983. And everybody was using Lebanon for their own international behavior, to justify their own international behavior. And I mean that by every country. The Soviet Union at the time, Israel, Iraq and Syria.
Why did it stop?
And Turkey.
Why did it stop in Lebanon?
Well, and it stopped in Lebanon because Iran basically, through their proxy, Hezbollah, pretty much took over the country. Well, Syria is now in the same position that Lebanon was in 1983. And there are differences.
A basket case.
But, but they're being used. Mm-hmm. And they're being used for these other players to behave a certain way. And those players being Iran, Turkey, Russia, Israel, the United States, and to some extent the European Union. So just keep in mind, President Trump is a disruptive president, and he disrupts the status quo, whether you like it or not. But he was elected because he told everybody he was going to disrupt the status quo. However dangerous that can be on the international theater, it's still his agenda. It's still who he is as president. So there will be certain amounts of disruptive-like behavior that is designed to probe and stimulate response. And that's kind of what's going on right now with regards to Americans, to the president's communication about Syria.
Don, what's your thought?
The problem is disruption. Continual disruption is not a plan. It's not a policy. And it doesn't get us any strong cooperation or sense of confidence from our allies. The problem now is the result of Trump's disruption within his own administration. We're on our third national security advisor in 14 months. I think this is Bolton's first day. Welcome to the job. We actually do not have an active Secretary of State right now. And so there's no coherent foreign policy on which to make any plans. We've seen kind of knee-jerk reactions from the president. I think it was about exactly a year ago he fired some missiles that blew up a runway, which I think was repaired the next day in Syria. That's not a foreign policy plan. We cannot make the mistakes of the past, going back several presidents, but we also need a coherent plan. And the concern right now is looking at Trump's behavior in the past, looking at his actions, looking at his words. There is no plan.
And China, I have 2 minutes for each of you to weigh in on this, the concern about a tariff war. We're just hearing today it's certainly going to affect here southern Arizona, pecan growers. The threat of a full-scale trade war between the U.S. and China has one southern Arizona farmer concerned about the future of the agriculture business in this country, and that is the folks at the Green Valley Pecan Company. That's according to Channel 4 News. What do we do about China, gentlemen? Don?
We do what President Jim, Trump is doing right now. What we're talking about is the very same thing, like we talked about, the international scene. President Trump is disrupting the status quo. The status quo was not acceptable to the majority of the voters, and that's why they voted for him. And they were not happy with the status quo of international trade. Neither was President Trump himself. He's disrupting that status quo. Here's the thing about Americans and the American economy. It lives, it breathes, and it thrives on disruption and change. I have sat in rooms with liberals, elitist liberals, and elitist Republicans, both demanding economic certainty from their politicians for whatever subsidy they wanted. My point is this. President Trump was elected to disrupt the status quo, and he's doing it. We will thrive just like we've always thrived under change and disruption. That's the American way.
Don, the last word today.
Well, he broke it, but he has no plan to fix it. And that's the problem. Yes, he's identified a problem. There's a trade deficit, but his responses are making the problem worse. He's hurting our, as you see there, our agricultural communities around the country. And this is something that China planned for. They've already been working for years to replace soybeans, to replace the other imports from now Brazil and other countries. So they're well prepared for a long trade war, and it's going to hurt Middle America. It's going to hurt our own steel industry, as well as all the other industries that were identified. So again, he's taken this problem and made it worse.
All right. Don Jorgensen, Jim Kelly, both of you, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com on Facebook. I saw Mo over the weekend. He's very pleased with sponsoring the Face-Off. He loves good political talk, and I think we deliver to him each Monday. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our monthly segment. We call it the monthly scam alert, and appropriately enough, it is presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, which does so much to alert consumers about the scam of the day. We welcome Suzanne Miller. Suzanne is the Director of Communication and Consumer Affairs at the BBB. Suzanne, you're looking delightful as usual. Great to see you. I love your smile.
Thank you, Bill. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We plow into a new week, and the scammers never take a break. They're out there 24/7. The con artists are always finding ways to make the scam more convincing, aren't they?
Oh, always. Always. They're very clever.
They have a new twist.
Yeah, there's a couple new twists going on. We've always heard about the employment scam, and, we love that we see employment, on the rise,
right.
But we still have those employment scams that are happening, and con artists are really doing a new twist on it and creating what you see as a fake interview. It's they call you in for an interview, and normally they just hire
really?
You on the spot, but they realize that, people are asking questions now. So if they ask you to do an interview,
a scammer doing an
interview. Yeah, it adds to
the
validity, right? That they're a legitimate employer. And so, they'll write the checks larger, and They're just really going after people. But what happens is when you conduct the fake interview, it makes job seekers really fall for the con more. They don't have as many questions because it really seems like they're having to go through a real process where before the job really sounded too good to be true. And, you get to pick your own hours and you get this great salary, but there's no real training that's needed. It's just... sounds too good.
Is this being done face-to-face?
No. So, again, it's the online hiring.
Okay.
And it's the same thing with, the fake check scam. So they really go hand in hand. So once they have hired you and you have agreed, what happens is they send you this check. And that is really one of our ways to spot a job scam is, no real job will ever overpay you and then ask you to send some funds somewhere else. I mean, think about this,
check, right?
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. But, after the interview, things get suspicious. The scammer will send you, this check that I told you about to spend on your first assignment or for buying supplies. And, that would be okay, except for they make it an overpayment. And you have to transfer some of that money back to the company or a field rep. Well, what sense does that make, So that's your red flag. And the check is fake. And any money you transfer, you're going to lose it, forever. And so you just want to be really careful about that. If they're asking you to send money elsewhere, don't
even
cash the check.
It's like a direct deposit, huh?
Yeah, just don't even engage in that. Just shred it up and just... pay no more attention to the person that was contacting you.
And once again, the advice we give you, if it sounds too good to be true...
It probably is. and always research those companies. If there's a job posting, go directly, because there are scammers using legitimate site names. So if that is the case, go to the actual employer site. And if that job posting is on there, then, you know, you can proceed with caution. Otherwise, that's your red flag to just stop then. And you might actually want to tell the employer that somebody has a false job posting in their name. That's always a nice thing to do, and always report it to our BBB scam tracker, of course.
And of course, the phone is a very popular vehicle for scammers. Protect yourself from cell phone porting scams. What's that about, Suzanne? Is this a new scam,
right?
In town?
Yes, it is. You know, it's con artists are using something called this porting scam, and others call it a port out scam. And they're gaining access to victims' personal and financial accounts and logins via your phone. So what's happening is the scammer steals your phone number and service. You're probably thinking, oh, how is that possible? Because that was my first question.
Yeah,
but
they
get your name and phone number and as much personal information as they can get their hands on. And this is where we say, you know, careful of what you post on Facebook. You know, just careful with your information, because what they do is then call your phone company claiming to be you.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then they tell the company that your phone was stolen, and they request that the phone number be ported to another device and provider, which, you know, in reality, if you lose your phone, that's what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not you. So the cell company complies. The scammers gain control of your number, and here's where it goes bad. They begin accessing accounts that require authorization via the text message. So the accounts, they can include email providers, your social networks. I mean, think of how much you have on your phone, invoicing software, even online banking.
Ooh, that is scary.
I mean, everything is on your smartphone now, right?
Yeah.
And once they've bypassed that security, scammers can easily steal your identity and your money.
So some obvious questions would be, how do we avoid this new scheme?
Right.
Or scam. It is a scheme.
It is a scheme.
It's a nasty scheme.
So, you know, something that we always say in general is to set up the two-factor authentication, because when you do that, you know, you're going to get notified on multiple devices, and that's a great way to protect yourself. Always contact the phone provider. If your phone suddenly stops working, don't just assume that it's the phone, because it could very well be this scam. So use a landline or a friend's phone to report the problem to whichever provider that you use. And then be alert to any signs of phishing. So, you know, when you see suspicious alerts from your personal and financial accounts or unsolicited requests for two-factor authorization, those are some red flags that somebody's got your information. And really, you know, only share your full name, phone number, and other personal information with, you know, people that you know and companies that you trust. It's just, we couldn't say it enough, that you just have to be careful where you share your information.
And social media, be careful, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. It's easy to give
them
those things
away. Some kind of leads, right, on social media?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have all of your information. Make sure your settings, when you go in there, make sure that, you know, it's just, you're only sharing your information with your friends only.
Right.
You keep it open to the general public, and everyone is watching what you're doing. Scammers can see you. If it's friends only, then you've got a layer of protection. But then again, your friends could get scammed and somebody steals their information, and then they can see your profile. So you really have to be careful.
It gets so dangerous. That is really, I think, the word. It is dangerous to share too much information on social media.
Yeah, you
be
have
very
to be
careful.
Wary.
And these days, with all the news about Facebook, people are very weary anyway of what's going on.
And it's good. I mean, hopefully it's an alert to people that they need to take a little bit closer attention. Pay closer attention to what they're doing on Facebook and any social media platform.
We have been hearing your announcements about the upcoming Torch Awards. Let our listeners know what is going to be happening on April 20th.
Oh, we love our annual Torch Awards. We're so excited. It's going to be in the evening. It's an awards dinner at Casino del Sol. And if you go to bbb.org, you can actually find our landing page that has all the details of the event. But we'll have a reception at 5:30. Then we have the actual dinner and award ceremony at 6:30. And it's just a lot of fun. We have a great time. And last year was sold out, so get your tickets now.
What are the Torch Awards, Suzanne?
We have four categories of Torch Awards. There's Ethics, Customer Excellence, the Spark Award. The Spark Award is something that we initiated last year, and that's for millennials in business doing things the right way. And all these categories are about businesses that in Southern Arizona that care about doing things the right way. They're leading with ethics and integrity, and there's a whole process to go through to be nominated. So we have our finalists up on that page at bbb.org, and you can learn more about them, and you can learn more about the whole process as a whole. Our judges are not internal. We actually have great judges from the community that make those decisions independently.
Well, that's a great idea, and it's a very popular one. Torch Awards, April 20th, Casino del Sol. Go to bbb.org. Great starting place also to find out about scams. Thank you, Suzanne Miller.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great week.
Thank you very much. You too. We'll be right back.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit toward your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society, Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County makes a very attractive getaway when our temperatures start pushing like they are this week, up to nearly 100 degrees. It's a lot cooler over in Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive, and I can pretty much guarantee the temperatures will be about 15 degrees cooler, 10 to 15 degrees cooler. I sort of fudged a little bit just to save, you know, whatever. No, but it'd be cooler because the elevation is about 5,000 to 6,000 feet. Go to Silver City in Grant County, the best starting place, southwestnewmexico.org for the places to stay and the many recreation opportunities. Also, additional support from our favorite nursery in town, 3384 East River Road is the location of Green Things on 13 acres by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things. Good starting place there, greenthingsaz.com. Dr. Mark Sykes, we're the CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, who I know enjoys growing. No, I can't say he grows. He's
killing.
He's no. Everything he's ever touched in the garden. He loves to look at beautiful green things. There maybe that would be a safe place for us right now. It's always good to see you, Mark.
Good to be here, Phil.
Yeah, always a pleasure. The Tucson-based nonprofit Planetary Science Institute doing great things now as they are into their for pretty much 46 years, right, Mark? 46 years in their work of the exploration of the solar system. What's this about? We have a Chinese space station that is coming back to Earth.
It came back.
It already came back?
Yes, on around April 1st.
And
all systems
exploded. No, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it burned up. It burned up. Maybe some of it hit the ocean. But
Is that the one that they didn't know where it was going to fall?
Yeah. Well, they didn't know exactly where it was going. They knew kind of the orbital path, but how fast it'd be falling, that was another question.
Well, of all the places it could fall, I guess that was probably a good one.
Yeah, it was a very isolated location, so... No, not like Skylab over Australia or other things.
We've got a launch coming up. Is that the Mars InSight project?
What one
is that about?
Well, this is where they're going to land on Mars, and they're going to stick a probe into the surface to measure vibrations and stuff from which they hope to determine the size and the nature of the Mars core, whether it's liquid or solid, and about seismic activity that's going on the planet, which has never really been measured before. And so that should tell us quite a bit about the state of Mars.
You know me, I always like to say there are no stupid questions when it comes to science, but I've always got a couple of them. I always have a lot of questions, especially in the scientific area. Is Mars necessarily a very seismic place?
Well, this is...
I mean, is it like, do they get earthquakes that... would be like
Earth is a very seismic place because we have the plate tectonics going on. We have the circulation of the mantle that's causing these things to bump into each other. And we have plumes up through the Earth's mantle, you know, such as the one under Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And now on Mars, there is evidence that that volcanism there, there's some fairly recent volcanism, like in the past millions of years. And so that would suggest that there are some of these processes that may be going on Mars today. And so if there are, then you would expect a little bit of shaking on the ground mm-hmm. at times.
But we right now don't necessarily have seismic instruments on Mars.
No, we've never put seismic instruments on Mars. It's been talked about for decades of putting a network of seismic sensors on Mars. But this is hopefully a first step.
Isn't that funny about stuff that's been talked about for decades? In your arena of planetary science there, you probably could come up with a long list of stuff that's been talked about for decades that needs to get done.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on what your objectives are. You know, for understanding Mars as a planet, you know, it doesn't. You know, we don't have to rush to do everything all at once. And so whatever people think is, this would be a priority thing to do now. Yeah, okay, fine. The idea has been around for a long time to do seismic studies on Mars. And certainly this instrument is just the first step because it's just one sensor. Really need to have a network up there. Same with the moon. We don't have a geoseismic network on the moon either.
You got to be kidding.
Nope. And we could learn a great deal about the interior of the moon from that. And that's been kicked around for a long time as well.
You'll be off to China in 2 weeks. What is the occasion?
Well, we're having a PSI a workshop over there. They're interested in they got some ideas for some near Earth asteroid missions, and so we're going to be over there to talk about our experience with that and the value of doing that kind of thing. They're kicking around the idea of orbiting a bunch of small telescopes, kind of following around the Earth's orbit to go looking for near Earth objects, and that depending on the aperture, the size of the telescope, that could be a very efficient way of doing it.
Where in our solar system is the very rich minefield, if you will, of near Earth
objects? Kind of blow up? Or?
Yeah. Where could I find an abundance of near Earth objects?
We're swimming in it right now.
You got to be kidding.
Nope. These are objects that are if you were to look down at a map of them. You'd see that the Earth is in amongst them, and it makes you wonder if Earth's really a planet. That's another story. Anyway, and they come from all over the place. They come from throughout the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and even from the Kuiper belt beyond. But they only stay in these orbits that kind of cross the Earth's orbit or get near it for a couple 10 million years, and then they get planetary perturbations. Earth, Mars, Venus will kick them out again, but more come in, and so they're a great population to study for science purposes, because hey, we're sampling all this other part of the solar system right near home, and so if we can find what their orbits are, and we can find the objects that are very low velocity that'd be coming by the Earth, that we could figure out where they came from, originally, and send a sample return mission there to study the material up close, and we'll effectively be doing sample return throughout the solar system without having to go throughout the solar system. And they're also a source of resources for potential rocket fuel, for life support for humans. So the extent that we ever want to extend our presence in the solar system or have permanent access to the moon or permanent access to Mars, resources from near-Earth asteroids are essential, because we don't want to have to be hauling up everything, all the fuel and stuff, at $10,000 a pound from the surface of the Earth.
So it's very fertile ground just in our neighborhood.
Yeah. And then little guys are going through the Earth-Moon system all the time. You read about it in the paper, but near misses and stuff. These aren't things to be worried about, but it just gives
like
you
like getting blindsided by something really big.
right. Yeah, it wouldn't. I wouldn't worry too much about that. unless you're a dinosaur. But so this is our neighborhood, and it's something we've yet to take advantage of.
And if people would like more information, it's psi.edu.
Yes.
For more information about your upcoming your annual fundraiser May 2nd. Have you decided on your guest speaker?
Oh yes, we're going to have Pamela Melroy,
former astronaut.
Yes, she's one of two women who have has commanded the space shuttle, mm-hmm. and piloted the space shuttle. And she'll be talking about her fairly unique experiences at our dinner. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I believe she has joined your team, hasn't she, in a certain capacity?
She has joined our board of trustees.
That's what I thought.
Which I'm very pleased to say. And we brought on another person on Friday, a woman named Erin Neal, who I first met when she was a staffer for Senator Bill Nelson in Florida. Mm. So she'll be bringing a lot of legislative experience with her. So we've got some great talent
people,
on our
good
board.
People on the team. Have a safe trip, Mark, to China.
Thanks,
Always
Patel.
A pleasure having you on the program. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, then Ray Allen. Ray, help out. It's a two-hour program now from 4 to 6, and then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.